Welcome to Moonwise, a podcast celebrating seasons, cycles, and rites of passage. I'm your host, Dorte Sophie Royal, and today I speak with Krishna Avalon about subconscious healing. She shares her experience of working with a modality called Psych-K to help clear subconscious programming and beliefs so that we can move toward our true desires. Before we begin, I want to make sure you know that I've launched a weekly magazine dedicated to inspiration and seasonal wisdom, including astrology and recommendations for events, books, and other things I think you'll love. You can sign up to get issues delivered straight to your inbox at moonwise.co/magazine. Krishna Avalon is a licensed acupuncturist, certified holistic health coach, Psych-K facilitator, pranayama breathwork guide, and somatic practitioner who has guided over 26,000 patients and clients to their health and wellness goals for the last 20 years. She currently specializes in subconscious transformation and the nervous system. Hi, Krishna. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Hello. So good to be with you.
I'm excited to talk with you about subconscious healing and the modality that you offer, which is Psych-K. And I have to say that I have experienced this work and found it to be very impactful. And what really stood out to me about it is the ease with which we can actually work with our subconscious. I think sometimes when we're on a path of healing, we think like, okay, it has to be arduous and difficult, and we're putting in all this muscle work and, you know, really trying to make it happen. But what I love about this work is it's surprisingly simple in a way. I mean, I'm sure it takes a lot of training to be able to hold space for, but for the person receiving, it's like, whoa, who knew I could clear that in just, you know, half an hour or something like that? You and I go back. We met through Susan Lipschitz, which is a common friend and mentor to me. And yeah, it's just been lovely to also both be in Portland, Oregon together. And I guess I'm curious about how the subconscious healing work came into your life or your work, because you've been a long time healer, acupuncturist, working with folks on healing. And it's newer, right, that you're really honing in on this subconscious element.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I had been doing acupuncture really well and loving it for 17 years before I was like, it's time for me to grow. And like, how would that look and what would I be doing? And I knew that I wanted to grow. I just wasn't quite sure how that was going to happen. But those thoughts kept coming in. And then I heard a podcast and they were talking about the subconscious. And I started tuning into what that was and how the subconscious creates 97% of our lives. And so when I realized this, you know, I became obsessed. And I heard about Psych-K on that podcast. And something in my intuition, and they were talking about a bazillion things, but something about my intuition was like, ding, like honed in on that, looked it up, saw there was one practitioner in Portland offering that service, happened to be my teacher, went and saw her for a session, didn't necessarily feel any different, honestly, but I knew that I wanted to train in it. And so I love my teacher. She's fantastic. She's an incredible for me person who has shown me how brilliant it can be to be 65 years old and free diving in the middle of the ocean with tiger sharks. That's what she does. And like fearlessly because of this kind of work. But she just wasn't my facilitator. And she just wasn't my space holder. And I didn't necessarily feel seen or heard by her. And so that's like the difference of when you go and see somebody that you feel safe with, you feel seen, you feel heard in this kind of work. It is incredibly simple. But when you go to the person who gets how to guide you to the right place, it is incredible. And it's quick. And it's super simple. So back to your question, I would say when pandemic hit, I was like, what am I going to do? I had to close my clinic for 8 years. And I was like, huh, I wonder if she's teaching those classes. Looked it up. Sure enough, she was. And so I did all the trainings, all four levels at her house, which is now my house. And that's an entirely different magical story of how that happened. But I did all the training during pandemic. I knew that's what I wanted to do. I knew that this was the missing piece in my own life and what helped me make the changes that I wasn't able to make using other things. And it was the direct route. So I love simple and I love the direct route. And having been an acupuncturist for so long, it took me having to offer this to many people before I, in my heart, was like, okay, I can receive money for this, because I had just been an acupuncturist so well for so long. And so I offered one, we do balances in Psyche, and I offered one particular balance to probably 15 people that I work with all the time, and didn't necessarily ask for testimonials, but then the things they were coming back to me with, I was like, oh my God. It was just an affirming yes. So I knew I wanted to train in it. I knew it was for me. I knew I wanted to like gear my work in guiding people in this way, but I also needed more proof from the people I had been working with, like, yes, this is really the thing that I needed in my life. This has been helpful. And so, yeah, it's been a couple years now, and people just find me, whether I've already been working with them and they know that I do this other work that I'm obsessed with, or they've heard Bruce Lipton talk about energy psychology, and Psyche falls in that category, and how Psyche helped him finish his book, The Biology of Beliefs. So that's how some people find me. But no one else has really heard of Psyche if they haven't delved into the subconscious kind of realm through podcasting or reading on their own or Bruce Lipton. But it's this stuff. It's this stuff that's helped people move on from triggering or stressful experiences that they haven't been able to move on from, like through talk therapy, which is just conscious mind processing. And so that keeps people, a lot of people, perpetuating the same stories. Not everyone. Yes, it saves lives. It's super important to understand the whys of life and so forth, but it doesn't give you the tools necessarily to create what we call neuroplasticity, the brain's ability to have a new experience. And so that's what I love. And then we can also take where we're stuck, limited, hitting resistance, frustrated, and use that for like, where do I want to grow? What do I want? And that's where I really, like, I'm full of goosebumps just saying that right now, because I like really, really feel that I want to hold space for that and guide people to that, because we do, as you know, spend so much time in the human mind, like worrying about other things we don't want. We're so good at that, but like, what are you here for? What kind of life do you want to create? And from that, we can create new beliefs in the subconscious mind so that they exist and so that it's possible. Because if a belief doesn't exist in the subconscious mind, it won't happen. So you might, with your conscious mind, be thinking, oh yeah, I deserve love. I deserve money. I deserve a job that I like. But if your subconscious mind is like, no, you don't, because you've never had that or you've never been shown it, that's where you're going to keep repeating. And so this work can help expand your beliefs so that it's possible. And again, the subconscious is 97% creating our lives. And so if we were a computer, it is the subconscious that's the programs. We are all running programs, all of us. And so it's like, what programs are you running? And this is the kind of work that helps you reprogram.
It really feels like the future of healing work and really tending to the roots, like you said, of those programs that we may have picked up in childhood or through difficult experiences where we have, say, a program of, you know, I don't deserve to have a lot of money in the bank or something, right? I've definitely seen this work in my own life where, as many of my listeners know, I had a very difficult postpartum experience with my first child, and I was really wanting to have a different experience the second time. And so when I worked with you, we really tapped into the feeling of what was so difficult the first time, and we were able to kind of shift my subconscious around that. And I have to say, it really did support the whole process. I'm really interested in the way in which the work hones in on feelings, or maybe you'd call them the emotional part of an experience, as opposed to, okay, intellectually, I know, you know, postpartum was difficult and I can tell my brain that this time it'll be fine. That's one thing. Another thing would be to actually truly reprogram my beliefs around what's possible, how I can experience it, and exactly what you said, which is like what I actually want. What kind of experience do I want to have?
And I mean, there's other beautiful work that works with the subconscious that just didn't necessarily work for me in the way that, I mean, I just didn't really notice any difference with some of the stuff like EMDR, kind of in the same way. You are doing these practices to help your brain uncouple, or in Psych-K we call it peacefully unattach and move on, whereas talk therapy again is just conscious mind processing, or things like emotion code are beautiful, that's more for the emotions. But in this work, you can peacefully unattach and move on, but you can also create the beliefs, and that's what I love. And the beliefs are about our perceptions, and the neuroscience shows that our perceptions are even more impactful than genetics, which blows my personal mind, because it's like Bruce Lipton says, he's like, I live heaven on earth. If there's somebody here feeling like they're not safe, or that life is hell, or they're suffering in all the ways, that's going to be their perception. That's going to be their lens. So we're creating new perceptions so that you can have a different experience.
So we're not only addressing symptoms that may be coming up in the body, like, oh, there's a pain here due to some kind of emotional issue. You're actually going into what is our belief around how we can feel, or the fact that we are worthy of being healthy and radiant and living the life of our dreams.
Yeah, I think I get what you're asking. And it's, yeah, and you don't have to know what your limiting beliefs are. A lot of people come in and they're like, I'm like, it's okay. Where are you stuck? Where are you like getting, where's your mind caught up with worry and like what's occupying your headspace? Let's clear that through the balance called the transformation of stress. Let's clear some space is how I see it energetically. Help you move on from that and have a new perception. And then let's just talk about what you want. And from there, we come up with the goal statement that you feel super connected to. And then we create that belief in your subconscious mind through the balance, which is all about just getting your brain in a, what we call a whole brain state. And so there are these exercises from this book called Brain Gym. They are so simple. And we use different Brain Gym exercises depending on the balance to get you into that whole brain state. And so like what we did with you, yeah, you're focusing on that postpartum experience that was very stressful for you, so that you can unattach from that feedback loop, and then have a different experience. So you're focusing on the stress, kind of like you wouldn't, if anybody's done EMDR, I've only done a couple sessions of it. I tried to do something similar where I'm like focusing, I just couldn't drop into it. With Psych-K, I could. You focus on it so that you wait until this thing calls a shift happens, and there are different ways you might experience the shift, and then that's what indicates, oh, a new pathway in the brain has been created for you to have a new experience. And then we just muscle test before and after the balance to make sure that there's been a shift. Also very simple.
Yeah, it seems really almost radical to work with people on what they truly want and desire. I feel like that's not something that comes up in our culture a lot, of like, what do you in your heart or your spirit like truly want out of life? Like, what do you want to feel like?
Exactly. And that's this, you know, my best work is just taking people back to themselves, clearing away the stuff that's not you, clearing away the limitation, the programming that's just not supporting the life you want to have or how you want to feel. So yes, I love that you're saying that. And I do see that this is the direction things are going with like AI and like that app everybody's using to check all the things. Now I forget what it's called, but I'm like, yeah, okay. I could see how that's appealing. And yet there are those of us like you and you and I that would prefer some human connection to have like physical space be held and look at somebody in the eye and like witness somebody's tears, you know. And for others, there will be AI.
So. Or even just like being able to be with someone like you where you're holding space for our most beautiful creativity as well, of like what do we want to create? What do we want to co-create with life and the universe? And where's the beauty for us in life? I'm curious if people who do this work with you, are they often surprised by, I don't know if easy is the right word, but there is a sense of ease where it's like, wait, that just cleared. It feels so different. It was just like a couple minutes. Like, how is that even possible? Like, you almost don't trust it because you're so used to like, okay, we got to like arduously like get some acupuncture needles in or like whatever it is. And then it's like, wait, it's just that easy to let go.
I would say yes, indeed. And I too am like skeptical by nature with lots of things. And that's why I did have to, even though I knew 100% I wanted to train in it, I had to see other people go through it. And people do come to me skeptical, just like they did with acupuncture too, or do, and that's great. And then when you show them that it works, they're like the biggest fans. But yeah, it is that easy for most people.
It's kind of like, I mean, it's probably the evolution of what you've seen with healing, that our bodies, our spirits, our minds, like, we want to be whole. We want to be in a balanced place. And just with a bit of direction and guidance, like, we know, like, our self actually knows how to get there, like, pretty quickly.
Yeah, I agree. Just like the right tools and the things that you connect with the most. For me, I'm pretty picky. Acupuncture was the very first thing in this life for me that I connected to and trusted 100%. I'd say becoming a mom was that second thing. Psyche is the third thing. And I've been exposed to so many cool healers, modalities, all the classes, all these things. I do love breath work too. But these are like, this is the stuff that I've been waiting for. I believe in it 100%.
So what are the kinds of things that you've seen people reprogram or work with? Is it just a whole range of things, or are there common themes that humans are dealing with right now?
For sure. I mean, I think everybody since pandemic especially is like fear of the unknown. And so they want to feel safe. They want to feel supported. They want to trust themselves in the unknown. So I do a lot of balances around trust of themselves and of their intuition and trust of the unknown. And I work with a lot of parents who want to feel more connected and playful and present. And that hasn't been their experience. I would say in relationship as well, like a lot of creating boundaries. Something around the lines of, I stay connected to my own energy and allow others their own experience so that you can open up your heart and you can feel someone else's pain, but you can also stay in your own energy and have clear boundaries. I've done some boundary work with people and they'll just write me and be like, I don't know who I am, but I have been saying no all day long and it feels great, you know, or they're at work and they're just like leaving on time and taking their lunch break to go for a walk instead of eating at their computers. Like stuff that might seem subtle, but it's very powerful. If all of a sudden you're like, I deserve rest. I deserve to feel good in my body. I deserve to take care of myself. It's easy for me to choose what's best for my mind, body, and spirit. You know, you think about all the people who are so tired after work, and so they're just like numbing out with some alcohol or Netflix or whatever, and that's fine maybe temporarily. If you don't want to stay stuck in that, you're having a hard time changing those patterns, go to the subconscious. The programs that you're running are usually something contracted and very limiting or self-sabotaging around your self-worth or deservingness around this, that, or the other. Love, money, health, safety, trusting yourself, your voice mattering. It's safe to be seen as I am. I deserve to receive love. I accept myself. Like, that changes your life.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially when you talk about money or relationships, it's like there are things that come up in life where it's like, oh, why is this happening yet again? Like, you know, and it really seems tied to a subconscious belief, even if it's like you've taken the course and you've tried the thing, somehow there's always the same outcome and you're like, why?
That's exactly right. And I have a lot of coaches who who I get to work with. So I sort of get to coach the coaches, because if you're like on social media trying to front this, like, do this, that, and the other, but you can feel like as a frequency or a resonance that somebody like hasn't gone through that, or it's not integrated, it's because they haven't done the subconscious work. They've maybe done a lot of conscious mind stuff, but that's only 3% of how we create life. So the conscious mind is like what we're typing in the keyboard to put into the subconscious. But the subconscious is our programs. It's our behaviors. It's our habits, our autopilot, our memories.
And I bet, and I'm sure we as humans are going to be learning way more about this in the near future, but we perceive that energy when we're encountering another person. It's like there's so much nonverbal, energetic, probably subconscious information coming. Like when I look at you, or you're, you know, posting a photo on social media, the energy that I'm perceiving around like who you really are and what your beliefs are about yourself can impact like how I'm receiving you. And so like you're saying, if there's a coach that's just like, yay, like all these things, but like they haven't done that work for themselves, they might be saying one thing, but their energy is saying like, I don't deserve money, so don't pay me, right? And then maybe the business isn't as successful as it could be. And yeah, I think that's like the real stuff right there.
I'm having such a deja vu right now of you saying that and your hand gestures, and I'm just like loving it, because I used to have deja vus all the time, like when I was my daughter's age, and I haven't had them. So thank you for that. And yeah, that's exactly right. Because when we change, expand our subconscious limiting beliefs, we do change our broadcast, our electromagnetic frequency.
And this actually happened recently where Krishna, you went off social media for a little bit. You took a bit of a break to do I don't know what, but while you're off social media, Krishna's energy somehow came to me, like her broadcast, like her channel got like really clear. And for those who listen to this podcast know that I really book my interview subjects in a very intuitive way. Like either I'll have a dream about someone, I'm like, oh, I should ask them to come on the podcast, or someone will just like light up for me, right? And so while Krishna was off social media, she kind of lit up for me, and I was like, ooh, there's a really clear energy coming from Krishna right now. I should see if she wants to come on the podcast. And it's so funny because it's like, I didn't see you. I didn't see a social media post. There was no phone call. There was no email. It was literally just like a little broadcast of like, ding. And that might sound kind of like, you know, what the heck is Dorothy talking about? But I really think this is the future. Like, this is what humans are going to become more aware that that's how we actually, it's a large part of how we're perceiving reality. Like, you suddenly think about, oh, I should call my mom, or, oh, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. It's like, we really are like interconnected in a very energetic way.
And it's weird because at that same time, or maybe briefly after, I had 3 people from very different parts of my life write to me, text me, like all within a couple days, saying I showed up in their dreams. I wasn't aware of anything I was doing differently. I wasn't like microdosing at night. I wasn't even like taking my Amanita tincture. So yeah, we broadcast frequency to your point. Even more clearly when we get rid of the distractions, I suppose. For me in this work, which is just what I want to do with people all day, every day, because I know this is the way for so many people. It's just kind of like, it's like the more I fine tune my own frequency, take care of myself, like tune in, listen to my own voice, allow myself to be guided. For anybody who owns their own business, that's been the best way for me to build my business, honestly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I'm in a similar boat with Moonwise, and I find that the more nervous system capacity that I develop, the more I can expand in this external way of like offering things or putting myself out there or collaborating with folks or just being more visible in an external way. If my nervous system, or perhaps you would say my subconscious programming, if I'm ready for that, if I'm not, I'm kind of forcing it and I'm not seeing the response, right? And so I've learned like that it really has to do with where I'm at in order to meet the success that I want to see.
I love that. And I work with that in tandem, and I hear other practitioners saying this as well, who teach me that it does have to do with our beliefs, yes, but then you do have to have a nervous system that can hold what you want to create, what you're trying to change, what you're trying to call in. So you could do all this subconscious work, but yeah, training your nervous system to be able to hold it. Just because you have 35 or 40 years of being in a pattern or relating in a certain way or feeling like massive scarcity or like there's never enough and like you don't have the support financially, you can all of a sudden quickly change that experience. It doesn't have to be arduous, like you said. It doesn't have to be super costly. It just doesn't have to take that long.
So you're saying it's never too late. Say you've been doing something for 40 years, you really could transform that belief in an afternoon.
Yeah, for sure. Like you can teach an old dog new tricks if the dog wants to learn.
And I think that's the key, because what I've found in my own experience is that sometimes I identify with a pattern of suffering, or I become attached or addicted to some kind of negative thought pattern, and I just think that's what makes me, or that's who I am, or that's a result of my story. And to let go of that, it's like, who even am I, right? And I wonder if a lot of people have resistance to this type of healing because they're like, well, no, but I've been suffering with this for 20 years. I mean, you're basically loyal to the suffering in a way. Like, what does it mean for that to just like disappear in an afternoon? Who even am I if I don't have to be in pain in this way?
I love that you're asking that question, because one of the women that I am coaching, and she's from Chicago, we met in Chicago, she and I have been doing lots of sessions together, kind of a variety of breath work and Psyche. And she's hit a point where like being around with her family, it still kind of contracts her. She kind of shrinks into old patterns. And so she hit this frustration point because she's done all this work for her boundaries. She's done all this work around her self-worth and deserving to feel good, even around her family, who is very committed to suffering. And she's frustrated. And so I said to her last night, I said, because she had said she felt lost. And I asked her if maybe she thought it was because, or maybe if she could conceive of it that because she's in this new way of relating around her family, like temporarily, she's not quite sure how to be, or she just doesn't know how to go in a different direction, like when she's around them. And so we just came up with some super basic things for her to do, and she shifted out of it. But that was it. Just to your point, like when you let go of the suffering, the story, the attachment to this, that, or the other, who are you? Can you be brave enough to keep your heart open in the unknown? Can you be brave enough to trust yourself when you're not quite sure what's next? You kind of have to, because if you're trying to make change and you're going back to what's familiar, you know, that's where a lot of the people will get stuck. Like they've done all this work to expand, but like then there comes that time where the universe is going to show you, all right, this is your time to show us. What do you want? Do you want familiar or do you want to grow? So that, I think, to what you were speaking of before, yeah, who are we when we let go of our stories and our suffering? Can we allow ourselves to be bigger, brighter, better, deeper in service, more true, more authentic, more love?
Yeah, I imagine it can be hard because people, sometimes our personality traits or what we think are our personality traits are actually coping mechanisms due to trauma or just like maladaptive ways of coping. And they're like you said, there's like a choice point or a transition point where it's like, this is no longer needed. It maybe was a great survival mechanism, but it's not actually who you are. So I could see how that'd be challenging, but very fruitful to pursue.
And I'd say keep growing in whatever ways call to you. Keep growing your self-worth. Keep expanding your trust in yourself. Keep being comfy when it's uncomfortable or unknown, so that when you hit those spaces where the universe is going to give you examples to be like, is this what you want? Do you want to grow? And again, your nervous system, can you handle it?
I'm often more afraid. I'm not so much afraid of failing, but I get a little intimidated by succeeding or really shining, really being radiant in the world, really showing up, really revealing who I am, sharing my gifts. Like, that's scary in some ways. And I don't know what that says about our society, but but to truly step in and just be like, yeah, I deserve to really be my brightest self, especially as women.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And it's, you know, maybe we were shown it wasn't safe to be who we were. So that's a lot of where that comes from. Or like women or people, I mean, I mostly work with women, but like when we're holding extra weight on the body, are you doing that for armor because you were taught it wasn't safe? Because like me, I was raised religious and there was a lot of conflicting, confusing energy around, like, you know, I just had a lot of energy from a young age. And so there's like a lot of shaming of like being pretty, being sensual, having attention. Like, that doesn't go with the whole Catholic martyrdom theme, victim theme. It just doesn't. And so that was taught to me, like, that's not okay. You should be ashamed of that. You're too much. You should be different. You should be something else. You should try to fit in where you don't belong. So that's the kind of stuff I've had to undo. Thank God I found this work. Thank God. Because otherwise I would just be like, oh yeah, I'd understand consciously that that is my programming. Now what? And you know, and some people do great work with psychedelics and that's fantastic. But a lot of people struggle with the integration at the end. And having something to, like, you know, afterwards, then what sort of thing. And so I love this work because it's really, I mean, it's a process and there are steps and there's stuff that you can do afterward to reinforce what we do in our sessions. And I just feel like that's really helpful for people.
I'm curious about the family piece, because I feel like many of us, we do healing work and then we're around our family and we're like, oh, back to the old patterns. It's such a challenge to really, yeah, be that healed version of ourselves, you know, around people who we were kids with or things like that.
Yeah. I mean, we start receiving our programming, I believe, even before we go in utero, right? But then certainly as you're in your mother's room, you're receiving all this messaging, all of her programming, how safe she feels, her nervous system information, right? And so I'll just say in short that, like, what my mother was going through while she was pregnant with me was being kicked out of the tribe, her herself not feeling safe. She was very young. She has 16 brothers and sisters. So in that scenario, you don't really learn boundaries. You're like sharing a bedroom with a bunch of siblings. You're just trying to fit in. And she was literally being kicked out of the tribe because she got pregnant with me out of wedlock on a one night stand with some guy who was already married and had a family. And so my grandmother kicked her out of town and said, don't come back until you have a husband. And my mom just married the guy who would marry her. He was not healthy. So all the lessons that I had to come into this world with, and receiving hers stories as well, was about acceptance, being loved as I am, belonging, safety, trusting myself, like all these things she never learned. And then me coming in, plus I'm the only brown person in that entire ginormous family. I've got a shitload of cousins. I love them all. I love my grandparents dearly. I miss them a lot. But they didn't know what to do, and that's what they did. And I had to learn. I had to learn how to navigate as a brown girl being raised by white Catholic people in Midwest Wisconsin. And those were my lessons. So those are pretty big ones. So I spent a lot of time, like, confused and reckless because I was wounded and hurting for a variety of reasons, and I was just kind of acting out. And so there was part of me that was like the prom queen and like popular and like everybody loved. And then there was this other that was like getting a lot of reflection of like, you are definitely not good enough. Like, you should be ashamed. So a lot of conflict, lots of confusion. And then just as life went on, thankfully I did find acupuncture school, and that did take me on the path. Thank God. But until then, and even after then, like I would even say, like, because I didn't get into the subconscious work, I didn't understand my shadow, didn't truly understand why I was wounded and what I had needed and didn't have. And I didn't know how to reparent myself. And I was expecting that from other people. Shit was messy for a long time. And so this just helped me sort that out. And again, focus on what I want and uncouple from those painful experiences. I don't want to sit and talk therapy and talk about that stuff. Gross. Like, I already understand, right? I just want to like have the stuff to clear it off my body, to take care of my inner child, to know how to guide myself through the painful, shadowy parts, and to move on and feel empowered as the creator of my life, not disempowered, not victimized, not confused, not giving my power away for love and acceptance. But like, what do I want? Why am I here? And of course, all those painful stories, they do become your gifts, right? When you learn how to take care of those and then turn them into wisdom and be able to share that with the world or guide others, or so that your children don't have to go through that.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think, you know, some of the best healers out there have been there, done that, and know how to guide as a result. So,
yeah, for sure. And it's really beautiful for me to be able to just tell it like it was a story. Those were my lessons. That was my path. But I'm not like sitting here shaking in my boots or in any way. Like, I'm super grounded just talking to you. It's not a triggering thing for me. That's a freaking amazing. That's amazing.
So for those who are listening who might want to explore more about working with the subconscious, are there things that we can do ourselves to start to understand how that's working in our lives?
I would absolutely say that the subconscious likes visuals more than words. So if you can practice seeing and feeling the way you would like your life to look and feel, the most influential time for the subconscious is going to be in theta state. And that's when you are really, really sleepy, about to drop into sleep, or first thing in the morning before you even get out of bed. So when you think about a kid and they don't have a bunch of programming yet and they're just kind of sponges, they're in that theta state for first 7 years. And that's where we learn most of our programs. And then those programs get reinforced from media, from what we watch, the songs we listen to, the people that we're around, our peers, our friends. Those programs get reinforced, and it's kind of like that well-oiled track or that deep path in the snow or the well-traveled path in the forest. Those get reinforced with your experiences, whether what you're believing is true or not. The subconscious mind and the nervous system, their job is to reinforce your beliefs, to seek the information out in the world and show you what you're believing is true, and that's their job, to keep you quote unquote safe. So whether that's true or not, that's their job. And so that's why you want to create programs where you are perceiving life the way you want to perceive it. Around trust, around money, around love, your worthiness of those things, connection, presence, how your joy matters, your voice matters, those kinds of things. Because again, if you don't create those in your subconscious, it might never, ever happen. You can do repetitive things. Eventually, you'll get to the subconscious. Like if you do mantras or affirmations, maybe eventually you'll create a change, but it'll take a lot longer. So you do something like Psych-K, and then really ideally reinforce things with maybe like a vision board or that you can see every day that just has images. No words. Or you have some flashcards or your screensaver is something you made off Pinterest so that you're seeing that and it's reinforcing your subconscious beliefs that maybe you expanded through Psych-K or whatever else. You do want to repeat things. Journaling is really wonderful for the subconscious, writing down what you want, going back and reflecting on it from time to time on what you've written. You can listen to self-hypnosis. I haven't found any that I'm in love with yet because I'm like, what are they saying to me when I'm asleep? I want to make my own and then I'll share it with my people. So just, you can make your own. Find some binaural beats to speak on top of very quietly. So that you're just putting headphones on and listening to that all night. You can listen, you can do that. And then don't watch things that are stressful or violent or angry. So the subconscious doesn't necessarily know the difference between what's real and what's not real. So what you are watching, what you are scrolling, what you're listening to for music, 1,000% matters. So just choose wisely. So those are some basic tips for working with the subconscious.
Thank you so much for those. I've even heard people say, what you wear, like the words that are on your clothing, is something that can influence your energy. Or, you know, some people write on their water, like love or something. And who knows, like it may change the frequency of the water. You just may visually see it when you drink and reinforce that.
I love that. I was just blessing my water as I filled up my Berkey container before I came here. But I believe in all that stuff.
Well, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, you're talking about mantras and some of these ancient ways in which people become more free in their life. And it made me curious of like, maybe this is the time in our collective story where we do have access to these new technologies of healing. And it's okay that we have a shorter route to it. And it also made me think about wise people who say that reality is a mirror of our inner state. And so our frequency really does matter. Like you said, our mind is trying to show us what we believe, right?
Absolutely. And how we don't see the world as it is, we see it as we are. I found that to always be pretty true. And Psych-K stands for psychology plus kinesiology. Kinesiology is muscle testing. I don't particularly love the name. But yeah, it's therapy. It's therapy for your subconscious. I want people to know that we are limitless in our ability to create. And why else would we be here? Like, really, why else? We're not here to suffer. We're here to learn and grow. But like, what is possible? That's what I'm here to hold space for. That's what I'm here to learn for myself. And we are really limitless beings. So that's what this work's about.
Thank you so much, Krishna. It was such a pleasure. For those who want to learn more about your work or have a session with you, you are doing remote sessions, so it doesn't matter where you live. How can people find you online?
I would just say my website for sure, and then I am on Instagram when I feel like it, usually in stories.
Okay. And you have a somatic practice that people could tune into on your website, right?
Yeah, I think I have 5 of them on there. There are 2 breathwork practices, a 15-minute and a 30-minute. And breathwork, the way I guide it, is a very big, powerful practice to clear like drama, unconscious energy, anxiety, fear off of the body in a very big, powerful way with the breath. So there's a 15-minute and a 30-minute on there. And then I have some somatic practices on there, which is really just about being aware of what your body's experiencing and connecting that with your mind and what you're believing, and then a reroute. So neuroplasticity through that kind of meditation to help people feel safe in their bodies and safe being present.
Thank you so much. What I'm taking away from this conversation is that our ideas about our ability to change those are really evolving in how people are understanding the subconscious, and that you could literally be 80 years old and you could change beliefs that would lead to changes in behavior and in your life.
It's totally true. It's totally true. I haven't yet worked with 80-year-olds. I would love to. But I've worked with a lot of people who have some pretty intense attachments or some pretty big trauma and have been able to move on. And to me, that's a miracle.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to rate and review Moonwise on Apple Podcasts, as it makes a big difference in helping others find the show. You can also sign up for our weekly magazine dedicated to inspiration and seasonal wisdom at moonwise.co/magazine. See you next time.